WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
I was picking up some milk at the corner store last night when I noticed, right there beside the cash register, a cute little cardboard display of Batman air fresheners. Is this necessary? Is this any kind of improvement on the little cardboard pine trees my grandfather used to dangle from the radio knob in his Studebaker? Of course, it's not only air fresheners. Millions of Americans are walking around with bats on their t-shirts this summer, or somebody's tonsils, depending on how you look at it. You can get Batman lapel pins, mugs, baseball caps, jackets, wristwatches, bike shorts. But why would you want to? In the old days, Joan Crawford would wear a dress in a movie, and the next week 10,000 women would want one just like it, and 7th Avenue would scramble to churn out copies. Kind of the way some people wanted Harrison Ford hats after the first Indiana Jones movie. Warner Brothers didn't wait around to see if Batman would generate any fads on its own. And no wonder. Was anybody really going to fall in love with Jack Nicholson's purple suits? Or his screaming orange satin shirts? Not to mention Michael Keaton's exceptionally silly-looking cape and those dopey ears. But what fun is it to have a blockbuster movie if you can't use it to sell anything? Seeing a movie as a marketing opportunity isn't exactly new. There were Glinda dolls after The Wizard of Oz came out, and the Reese's Pieces in E.T. and the famous Pepsi sequence in Top Gun. Too bad Orson Welles didn't think of it. Citizen Kane could have sold a million sleds. But Batman takes the interpenetration of marketing and entertainment to new heights. To the point that you can't anymore tell which is which. Long before the movie was finished, Warner Brothers had started licensing Batman stuff, and 140 different licensees started churning it out. They expect to sell $500 million worth of the stuff by the end of the year, which right there is more than most movies gross. The Batman trinkets are a triumph of shameless hype, like the movie itself. It was the sheer quantity of pre-release publicity that made it a must-see. By the time it came out, you'd heard so much about it that it didn't matter whether it was a great movie or not. You had to see it anyway. Missing it, even waiting for it to come out on video, would be like sleeping through an earthquake or missing a total eclipse. And I guess that's why people feel they have to have the tonsil t-shirt and the air freshener, too. It's a way to belong, a way to be current, a way to be part of your times. Batman's hot and you've got him right there on your chest. It's awful to say, but dumb as the avalanche of Batman stuff is, we should probably be grateful for it. There's so little consensus in this country anymore. We're all splinters and factions, neo-Nazi skinheads and weirdo survivalists and plutocrats and oat brand fanatics and channelers and deadheads and the people who think Jesse Helms is right and the people who think he's a nutcase and the people who think Pete Rose did it and the people who think he didn't. It's only when something like this comes along, something totally synthetic and ridiculous and hype-driven like the Super Bowl or Batman, that millions of us find something we can all get into and be part of and share for long enough to, just momentarily, have something in common. Maybe it's better than nothing.